Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Another victory is on the horizon for the Syrian people and its army. This as another terrorist group has agreed to be evacuated from eastern Ghouta. The Saudi-backed Jaisal Islam militants have agreed to leave Douma in eastern Ghouta and will pave the way for more secure capital, Damascus, as no longer will terrorists be able to send mortars from this suburb of the capital. Stay with us as we take a look at this subject tonight on the debate. Let's cross over, starting it all off in Damascus, joined by Press TV's correspondent Mohammed Ali. Mohammed Ali, good to have you with us. Well, fill us in on the latest situation on the ground there.
Yes, a deal has been reached between the Syrian government and the terrorists of Jaish al-Islam in Douma and eastern al-Ghouta. The first step of this deal is the evacuation of terrorists of Faylaq al-Rahman, another terrorist group, those terrorists who escaped the front lines while the Syrian army was fighting them in Hammouriyeh, and they escaped towards Douma. Now those are getting out. Already 24 buses came out with their families, of course, the terrorists of Faylaq al-Rahman. They left Douma and eastern al-Ghouta heading towards Idlib. Perhaps tomorrow we might see the start of the implementation of the deal on evacuating Jaish al-Islam, the Saudi-backed Jaish al-Islam terrorists from Douma with their families, of course, those who wish to leave, and other militants who wish to stay and reconcile with the government will be granted amnesty and allowed to stay there. Also, a very important item in this deal is that there will be a work team formed headed by Russia, and it will include also representatives of the Syrian government and also representatives of the guarantors of Astana talks, meaning Turkey and Iran, in order to supervise the process of releasing the kidnapped civilians and army personnel who were kidnapped by Jaish al-Islam terrorists and kept inside their prisons in Douma for over 6 years now. This is something that the Syrians have been waiting for. Douma is the last town that terrorists occupy in eastern al-Ghouta. The Syrian army, of course, launched an offensive against the various armed terrorist groups inside eastern al-Ghouta in February. Now nearly 90% of this area is under the control of the Syrian army, and we are expecting that by the evacuation of the terrorists of Jaish al-Islam, of course, the entire militant held region will be secured, and thus mortar attacks that used to come from that region for over 6 years and targeting the residential areas of Damascus, such attacks will be over, and the residents of Damascus will be freely going to their jobs to walking the streets of Damascus without fearing to be hit with a mortar shell. Now, this is the most important military operation happening around Damascus since 2012, as terrorists used to occupy this large stretch of land, which is the largest stretch of land terrorists occupy near the capital. This will mean that the army will be securing most of Damascus and its countryside. What will remain is only Al-Qadam and Mukhayyam Al-Yarmouk, Al-Yarmouk refugee camp, where small groups of Daesh terrorists are expected also to be forced to leave out in similar evacuation deals.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that update. And I'm sure Syrians tonight are very, very happy. That was Mohammed Ali out of Damascus, Press TV's correspondent on the ground there. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program, Managing Editor of Veterans Today, Mr. Jim W. Dean, and out of Atlanta, writer and lecturer Jonathan Fryer out of London. Thank you both for being with us. So let's start this off in London. Jonathan Fryer, now this is another major victory and one that the U.S. and its allies tried very hard to prevent. We saw Nikki Haley going to the U.N. and trying to prevent it from happening by continually demanding a ceasefire, but Syria and its partners were vigilant in their desire to liberate the area. Why was the U.S. so against this region being freed of terrorists?
Well, the main objection from the United States and many of the Western governments, of course, was about the aerial bombing of civilian areas in eastern Ghouta, and that was why there were calls at the United Nations for a ceasefire, because of the civilian casualties that were being suffered. And indeed, it's significant, I think, that today, being Easter Sunday, the Pope in Rome put out a very strong call specifically on Syria, calling for an end to the suffering of the Syrian people in this very protracted conflict that's been going on now for over 6 years, 7 years. It's a really difficult situation. But the objection from the West was the level of aerial bombing on heavily inhabited areas. So of course it's to be welcomed that that has now stopped and that an arrangement has been made with Russian help in order to evacuate people from the area and hopefully to bring back some sort of semblance of normality after so many years of complete turmoil and huge suffering.
How do you stay with you, Jonathan Fryer? How do you analyze this victory and the importance of it strategically?
Well, clearly, this comes after a series of advances and victories by the Syrian army, much helped by its allies abroad, Russia, Iran, Hezbollah from Lebanon, etc. But of course, this isn't the end of the war. It may be the beginning of the end, but there still is a series of groups up in the north of the country that control areas, rebel forces who, of course, the government in Damascus blanketly criticizes as terrorists, but they're actually of a different sorts of groups. Some are Salafists, as Jaish al-Islam, of course, is. Some are Kurdish groups. And so there still is that situation in the north to be sorted out. And it is a bit ironic that the Turks have been involved, apparently, in the latest discussions through the Astana talks with the Russians and the Iranians. And yet it's the Turks who have occupied and are still advancing in parts of Afrin in the north.
Okay, and my apologies to our viewers. We're waiting for Jim W. Dean to join us for this discussion. Staying with you, Jonathan Fryer, because we look at this, and this is starting to take place as we speak. Of course, it started a couple of days ago, some of the evacuations from other groups. And now with speed, it seems that Eastern Ghouta is going to be totally freed of terrorists. Now, looking at what the Syrian military, along with his allies, have been able to accomplish, even though there has been so much pressure on them, especially from a PR perspective, I want to look at that, the significance of actually being able to overcome all of the negative press and pressure that they have been able to get through this.
Well, clearly there has been a huge amount of criticism, particularly from the United States and some of the Western countries, not only of the Syrian government at times, but of various groups that have been involved. As you mentioned earlier in the program, of course, Jaish al-Islam in particular received help from Saudi Arabia, originally because of its very strong Islamist Salafist wish to set up a sort of, not a caliphate like Daesh, but an Islamist government that would be Sunni led and would be very bad news for other groups, including Shia and Alawite minorities, and of course the Christian community as well. So the West and the outside media have followed with a certain amount of distress all the suffering going on in Syria.
Okay, stay with me, Jonathan Fryer. Let me get Jim W. Dean in on this. So sorry to interrupt you. Let me bring him in on this discussion. Jim W. Dean, your perspective on this. Do you think that we have reached a situation in Syria that the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and its allies are perhaps ready to concede defeat?
I don't think they're going to concede. I think they're going to be falling back on their plan B and plan C. We had the real curveball this week with Trump seeming to surprise his own staff by saying we're going to be pulling out of Syria. But of course, it wouldn't be the first time where he said something and done something else. But we really dodged the bullet over the last few weeks, because when Nikki Haley did that warning from the UN Security Council that if the Syrian government used chlorine gas on the east Ghouta civilians, the U.S. was going to feel free to put in a general attack on Damascus. And our people in Damascus were sweating bullets. They told us planes were flying above the city all night long, and they were worried that an attack was imminent. And of course, we were waiting for the gas attack to happen, which we knew was going to be a false flag one. But it got stalled because Putin really put a veiled threat on the line, saying that Russian troops are embedded with all Syrian troops in command centers. And if Russian troops were attacked, the Russian command would retaliate and destroy the platforms from which the missiles or attacks were launched. And everybody took that to mean they would shoot the planes down. But it was a lot more than that, because submarines launch cruise missiles, Navy ships launch cruise missiles, and aircraft carriers refuel and rearm strike planes to go back in and do a second attack. So he was basically saying that aircraft carriers, bases, and submarines we would consider legitimate targets. And there was a hiccup there, and everything went silent while the U.S. coalition was absorbing that for a couple of days. And then we had the tremendous break where the Syrian army captured the chemical weapons plant in East Ghouta. And we had all of the photos.
Okay.
And on one of the big ones, we had a MetaPlus piece of equipment photographed. We found out that was U.S. made in Michigan. We got the serial number. It was manufactured in 2015. So now we had proof that the U.S. was putting chemical weapons machinery into the jihadis to make these attacks and then blame them on Assad. A tremendous turn of events.
Well, Jonathan Fryer, Jim W. Dean, you heard him mention about U.S. President Donald Trump. And of course, he recently said that American troops are going to be pulled out of Syria. Your take on the comments of Trump, because we've heard from other parts of the government and saying that the U.S. is in Syria for the long haul. Is Trump bluffing, or do you think that really he wants to get American troops out of Syria?
Well, certainly there is a lack of coherence within the U.S. administration, with very different messages coming from different parts of it. But I suspect that actually Mr. Trump would like American troops to be well out of Syria. I think he realizes that they're on a hiding to nothing, basically, by continuing involvement there, and the situation has now moved on. Whether he approves of the outcome or not, the situation is now clear that there needs to be a properly implemented peace agreement so that Syria can once again enjoy being a peaceful and secure country. So I think actually the president himself probably does indeed want Americans to withdraw from Syria, but he shoots from the hip when, as we've learned over the past year, he often says things or even tweets them without really consulting all his officials. And there must be sometimes panic in the State Department because of his and going out into these strange messages that he sometimes conflict with what the official policy is.
Well, Jim Dean, now the United States, along with its allies, including the United Nations, have said that the battle in East Ghouta has been one of the bloodiest. Terrorists in this area have been inflicting havoc on Damascus for years, and no one voiced any objection. Why is that the case? Why wasn't the holding of a hostage of a whole town and its residents condemned instead of once this offensive started in trying to free these residents of the terrorists? But that is condemned.
Because our fake free media here worked very closely with the U.S. government and the U.S. intelligence agencies to make sure that there was almost very, very little coverage of this in the U.S. When I went to Syria for the first time as an election monitor in 2014, we were in the business office using the computer and doing email and sending reports in the press TV. The nights were balmy and we had the windows open. And we could hear the shelling, the 120 millimeter mortars landing inside the city, just going on. You know, it wasn't a heavy shelling, but a very sporadic shelling. And we found out that the jihadis, we didn't know it before we went over, that they were actually in the Damascus suburbs and had just been randomly shelling. So that was just one of the first things we learned when we got there that we had heard nothing about. And this is why when you have Western nations doing an offense like that, this the war against terror became a war of terror, they have to have control of the media to see to it that they're not going to hear very much of the other side. And what happens is the public, they just keep hearing Damascus is bad, Syria is bad, over and over and over again. And people, they're still too naive. They just believe that these lies could not be told on media year after year unless they're true. That somebody in media, some news report, would break the story and say, this is completely a big lie. And of course, Veterans Today did do this. And of course, we got banned and we have a complete blackout in the US. So people just don't know because the media is actually part of the war that's going on.
Jonathan Fry, the Jaish al-Islam militants have not only agreed to vacate Douma, but also have agreed to release around 3,500 residents and Syrian military troops who they had kidnapped and imprisoned. Isn't this a significant defeat for the terrorists, first to be forced out of the town they have held parts of for 6 years, and then forced to release thousands that they have imprisoned?
Well, clearly it's a huge setback for Jaish al-Islam and other groups of which there are still remnants in the area. And I think we have to be relieved for the civilian population that therefore it does mean now that they will be hopefully able to enjoy much more normal living conditions, because certainly over the last few years, during the time that Eastern Ghouta has been under the control of Jaish al-Islam and other groups, obviously the normal civilians' supplies of food and medicines and other things that one would expect in a normal society have been severely curtailed. On top of which, of course, then came in recent weeks the bombing. So it really is the civilians we should be caring about and ensuring that over the next few weeks and months, that those who decide to move out with the Jaish al-Islam up to the north are able to do so safely. But the mass of the ordinary people who maybe had no particular support for any group or even very strong support for the Syrian government are able to get on with their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, do you think that the U.S. Has been taken aback by the line of resistance and alliance between Syria, Hezbollah, Russia, and Iran, and had expected to have broken it by now?
I think they had planned to balkanize the country during the peace process. We've seen the U.S. Backing the Kurdish groups, and then they pushed down into the eastern Deir ez-Zor area to capture all the oil fields and also block the road to Iran through Iraq there. So we saw that as probably going to be a permanent U.S. basis there. And then we saw Turkey coming in into the northeast. So you were going to have a little bit of a balkanization going on there. And of course, the way that would work is they would say, if the peace process works out the way we want, we will pull our troops out. If the peace process works the way we don't like it, then we're going to stay. Or they'll move troops out that are in uniform, and then they'll leave all these private contractors in. So what was happening here in East Ghouta is this was a last stand to really try to keep a lot of military pressure on Damascus, because Damascus could really not go forward with the police, the peace process, lining up elections and doing all these things when it was really being mortar fired under attack from the east and then also from the south. So by winning this battle for Damascus, which we hope is going to be over, that will give some renewed effort to get this peace process going. And once that momentum gets going, then it's going to be safer to know that we're finally going to see an end to this, where people can go back to their homes and start rebuilding their homes and their lives.
Jonathan, what about that? Finally going to see an end to this, where people can go back and rebuild their lives. Do you think that we are nearing the end? Do you think that we are close to reaching that point, and what has to happen in order for it to be so?
Well, I think we're at the beginning of the end, but we're nowhere near the end as yet, unfortunately. Not only because there are still several parts of the country which are under control of different groups, but particularly because of the huge amount of physical damage as well as human damage that's been done. As viewers will be aware, millions of Syrians have been displaced or had their homes destroyed in this 7 years of war. And the demands of reconstruction will be enormous, let alone when some of the millions of refugees, notably from Turkey, but also in Jordan, start to return in greater numbers to the country. The pressure on the infrastructure is going to be huge.
All right, and thank you so much, Jonathan.
And a great deal of money.
All right, thank you so much, and sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time. Appreciate you being with us, Jonathan Fryer, a writer and lecturer out of London. Jim W. Dean, managing editor, Veterans Today, out of Atlanta. And with that, viewers, it brings us to the end of this debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay.